thought today was our best practice we've had probably since I've been here. I think the defense is, you know, the defense realized that, like, they played a great football game for, I think we had 14 drives or 12 drives, and then, you know, the last two drives we didn't do what we wanted to do. And, you know, when you have a defense that doesn't point fingers, that instead says we could have done more, you know, when I have a defensive coordinator who, you know, Phil Snow very simply says, if the other team has more points than us, we didn't play great defense. And that's a pretty simple way of looking at it. And so the defense came out with a lot of energy today. Offensive guys had an edge to them. That was a good practice. You know, sometimes when you practice at a high level, it takes a week or two for it to really kick in. We've been practicing well, but this was the best. So, you know, I'm hopeful that we'll see some dividends, and hope we can do it again tomorrow.
Sports Radio FNC, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. That was Panthers head coach Matt Rhule, who said yesterday that was the best practice they've had since he's been here in the NFL, which gets me geeked, Stan, unless they go and lose to Minnesota.
It can be deflating when you set it up like that.
Then we'll all be like, but you said it was the best practice. What happened? Why didn't this translate on the field?
What I'm curious to know, and I didn't listen to, you know, the question and answer in totality, but what was it specific? And I know I read some of the things from the guys. They said it wasn't necessarily like they were trying to, sports term, kill each other. It was just the attention to detail, the tempo of the practice. Everybody appeared to be locked in. Specific periods were planned a certain type of way. I saw that Sam Darnold said, and it's customary in NFL, they post the practice schedule. How many reps for what group? How long it's going to take? It's all broken out. So you can tell, especially if it's fully padded, what type of day is this going to be? A high contact day or mostly a skill day, special team? So anyway, now it's got to translate to Sunday. Because the last time we saw you, few of those things were happening.
Well, and I do think that to me is why it does stand out when he talks about the offense playing with a little bit of an edge or the defense coming out looking to quote-unquote win practice. I do think that matters because you did not play like that against the Eagles. And I'm just going to say it right now. As somebody who covers this team, as somebody who's followed this team now for five seasons, I will not permit, I cannot abide another Eagles game effort. You lose to Minnesota, there's a lot bigger sins in the world than losing to what I think is a good, not great Minnesota team. They have talent. They have ways that they can beat you in ways that you've been beaten. They've got a very good front four on the defensive side of things. They got weapons galore on offense and a quarterback who the best version of himself is a very good quarterback. But it can't be because of effort. It can't be because of focus. Some news to pass along here as we get into the Minnesota game. We are now looking for a new punter, as Joseph Charlton was placed on the injured reserve today. Of course, he had popped up on the injury report with a back issue on Wednesday where he was limited, but it's going to cost him at least the next 3 weeks here. Kenny Robinson has been bumped up from the practice squad to the active roster, and the Panthers have signed Ryan Winslow. He's been with the Bears, Packers, and Cardinals as well as he backed that AF up in the American Alliance of Football. He is on the practice squad now. So, special teams has been a problem. And now you're without your regular punter. No time to panic.
Wow. I talk more about special teams and believe in it more than probably a lot of people do. Just the way I believe in football, the way I was taught football, the hidden yardage, and many times the points, field position, if you want to say it that way. Punter is not one of those things that you necessarily need to have timing with the other 10 dudes out there. As long as he and the holder get together, he and JJ figure it out. A punt was blocked last week. So just get together, figure it out. Let's get the ball punted, and let's go down and cover.
With that being the latest news there, and Joe Brady had some ambiguous comments today about whether or not Christian McCaffrey will play this weekend. He said something to saying that his limited is better than other guys 100%, referring to his limited practice designation, but saying we'll see on Sunday. So we still don't have more concrete proof on Christian McCaffrey's status for this game on Sunday. You asked earlier, in starting to set up this Minnesota game, you had a fear about what this game could be that I wanted to give you a chance to get into here as we talk about Minnesota and Carolina at Bank of America Stadium on Sunday.
Yeah, so last week you felt as if it might be possible that this Eagles game coming off that Cowboys third quarter debacle. Hey, Stan, I think this Eagles game is a trap game. I said, well, I don't look at it like that. It's an important game, but I didn't view it as a trap game.
Given their effort, it might have well been.
Now, that was prior to the results of their work on Sunday. This one, I think, is a little bit different. This one, I think, okay, you've now lost two in a row. I've been mentioning Matt Rhule has essentially five different occasions last season where his teams lost back-to-back games. You can't get into losing three in a row because then, now it's in the headspace. And some of this was set up. What do we say coming into Philly? Six of the next eight opponents had a 1-3 record coming into last week. We said that for some, the Dallas game was an anomaly. That's an outlier. It's an aberration. We can correct those. And then you let a team that you're less talented than in Philadelphia, who you led or tied the game for 58 minutes, in your house beat you. I look at this game and go, this is the second best quarterback, second best team the Panthers have seen all year. On a two-game losing streak, I think this is the trap game.
I think it could very well be a trap game. I'm going to stop short. I think earlier I said it might be a must win. It's a must compete your bleep off. We're getting to the point of the season where even just winning isn't enough, right? Once you get to mid-October, which this game's going to be played on October 17th, smack dab in the middle of the month. Once you get here, each part of the season is a phase. The first four, five, maybe six games, it's a getting to know you phase. Mm. Once you get in there, depending on your health level, you're pretty much a known quantity. You've got enough tape to game plan from week to week. So then it becomes, can you execute? I think my real concern about the Panthers isn't any one specific thing outside of the offensive line. It's that they just have not put together four quarters of a good football game.
Yeah.
The Jets game, you were pretty darn good. You probably should have been up a lot more than you were at the halftime, but you were pretty good in the first half, and you kind of eked out a win in the second half. You got lucky there. Mm-hmm. You played New Orleans close in the first half, and then in the second half, late and really the fourth quarter, you kind of took that game over and put it to bed. Fourth quarter for Houston, you put it to bed. Dallas, strong first half, abysmal third quarter,
right.
Decent fourth quarter. Philadelphia, you should have been up a lot more than 15-6, or what was it, 15-3, something like that, at the half. You lost 21-18. I need this team to put four quarters of football on. And if you're going to do it, you mentioned the veracity of the opponent here. Minnesota's the team you have to do this with.
Minnesota's a good football team.
And you know what else they are? Especially on offense, they're a veteran team.
Minnesota, and they're well coached. Now, Zimmer's on the hot seat, depending on who you ask. Yes, I recognize that the Minnesota Vikings have a losing record at 2-3, and they've yet to win a game away from their home stadium. Don't be fooled by that. Go look at the tape. That offensive line, they are so good. They drafted an offensive lineman in the first round in Christian Darrisaw out of Virginia Tech. And either Darrisaw is so bad or their offensive line is functional enough, Darrisaw doesn't start. So they just got a first-round offensive lineman just hanging out where we're clamoring for linemen around here. They run the ball, whether it's Dalvin Cook or whether it's Alexander Mattison. They can run the football. Clearly, Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson on the outside, two All-Pros and Pro Bowlers, are plenty competent enough to beat you down the field with a myriad of different route concepts. I look at this game and go, what is the Viking, what is their strength? They get after the quarterback. What do the Panthers not do so well? Protect. And there's the last two games, for sure, has given Minnesota a blueprint, some tendencies is the word we use, of how to attack this offensive line and how to force Sam into some questionable decisions. I'm not prepared to make a pick. We'll do that tomorrow. This is a tough matchup. Don't let the record fool you.
Respect the Panther. Respect the Viking. This is a team that I think we collectively, I didn't respect the Philadelphia Eagles. And it's apparent, neither did the Carolina Panthers.
Did they watch the Kansas City tape?
They didn't. That, well, they must not have. But again, they didn't respect the Eagle. Just in the interest of bringing it. So the Vikings are 1-point favorites in this game. And the FBI, the Football Power Index from the four-letter network, has Carolina giving them a 54% chance of winning this game.
This game opened, I believe, as a 1-point favorite Panthers.
I don't remember what it opened
at. I believe that's right.
I was still coming off the Eagles loss. I was still in a bad place. So I, because you had said, you know, is this a trap game? I felt like the Eagles was the trap game. There's no excuse to be trapped in this game. But you know what this is? You know what this game has to be? It has to be a get-right game. This is a game. And again, that this is me saying the Vikings are a difficult opponent. But there is one guy, and one guy above everybody else, that has to have a get-right game. And it's Sam Darnold. Because as good as they are in terms of your pass rush, they have some liabilities outside of that. They have young corners who specifically last year got toasted a lot. They have a linebacking core that isn't the same linebacking core when Anthony Barr and Eric Wilson and some of these other dudes were dominating in the middle for them.
Barr has been banged up. He's fighting through injury. But that Kendricks at middle for them, he's a player. He's just not popular, but he's a dude that gets busy.
But you're going to have some opportunities if you can build a game plan correctly. I need Sam to get back on in the black. I need to get Sam, because you're going up against a defense of some repute with guys that can hurt you if you let them. I need Sam to have a get-right game. And I think if we were being honest, if we went to everybody in that locker room, a little bit of Veritas serum, a little bit of truth serum, I would guess that some of those guys need to see it again. The last six quarters it has gone from problematic in the third quarter against Dallas to downright ugly against the Philadelphia Eagles. This defense is better. Sam really needs to have, even if it's just an average game, right. Maybe instead of a get-right game, he needs to avert disaster in this game.
I understand, and we spent a ton of time, and we'll continue to talk about the players and ultimately the production, right? You got to execute. But I'm also going to be looking at Joe Brady and Phil Snow. Where was the pressure against Dallas, Phil Snow? Now, he came out against Philadelphia, and they essentially minimized Philadelphia until the end. You've been very vocal about the field position the Panthers defense was up against. And I've said I love what Joe Brady did against Dallas in the first half. Where was that play calling versus Philly? It looked stagnant. You have to scheme Robbie Anderson open. You have to continue to stay committed to the run, whether Christian McCaffrey returns or you want to use him in a 21 personnel with McCaffrey and Chuba Hubbard. Like, I'm expecting that coaching staff, let's get this thing back on track.
I think that's a great point. Seeing as how a lot of us tend to think that the third quarter issues are not just on the players, that this is a really important game for Joe Brady. Joe Brady, because of the first three games of Sam Darnold in the offense, Joe Brady has gotten a lot of love. Right now, he's the third best odds to be the next head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. Anytime there's an opening in college or pro, Joe Brady's name is there. Mm. If it is a marquee opening, there's Joe Brady's name. Well, I loved what we saw in the first half against Dallas. I even loved some of the risks that he took with Sam Darnold in the Saints game. I've seen it. I know some Panther fans still want to go back and say, where's the guy from LSU? I've seen forward progression as an offensive play caller, as an offensive coordinator this year. I want to get hyped about Joe Brady. I think it'd be cool if Matt Rhule's coaching tree became something. I think that's something you can take pride of, as being a good organization that begats other great careers. But man, this has been a brutal, brutal last six quarters for Joe Brady. We're going to need to see something out of him. And that kind of falls right in line with the idea of a Sam Darnold get-back game. 704-570-9610. We're asking what this game represents for the Carolina Panthers. Is it a trap game? Is it a get-right game for Sam Darnold? We've also got to get to Robbie Anderson Explained on Sports Radio FNZ. Sports Radio FNZ, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. We've got Mark Spain Real Estate's Nick Pick coming up in 20 minutes. I will have you know I was correct on last night. I was right. I chose the under.
It was a 68-point defeat.
Oh, no. I did not choose. Remember, I stayed away from the line, and I went to the over-under. The over-under was 219, and the Charlotte Hornets single-handedly ensured that I would be right because they only scored 12 points. Was it 12 points? Was it 15 points? I don't remember. I blacked out.
At one point, the Hornets were close to setting the all-time record in the shot clock era for fewest points scored in a game. I think that was 49 points in 1991. The Bulls were playing somebody.
So we've got that magic. The Nick Pick coming up in 20 minutes here. We'll talk Thursday Night Football, what you're burning on, all that. But you and I have talked about the on-the-field side of things with Robbie Anderson. As of right now, his catch percentage is about 44%, which is about, actually not about, it is 20% less than it was last year. He's got 21 less targets than DJ Moore does, but despite having a higher targets per game last year. And then there was the little outburst on the field against Philadelphia. And we wanted to play this in whole so you guys could hear Robbie's full explanation yesterday at practice on why what happened. The explosiveness, the explosive outburst from Robbie Anderson.
I mean, everybody's entitled to their opinion. I mean, you can consider it getting upset. I mean, for my defense, it's passion, you know what I'm saying? Like, I approach this game every day, like, you know, giving my all and everything. It's my biggest priority, you know, besides my relationship with God, my family. So, you know, it's passion, you know what I'm saying? People could take it how they want. Everybody's entitled to their opinions. But it's just more so a situation with me, you know, being a veteran player and kind of knowing, like, what I can do to help the team. It's from a team aspect of me wanting to make plays for the team and help the team. So it was just more so me feeling as if being on the field and being out there knowing something I felt I could have did to make a difference in the game, and that I was kind of communicating and was just a little passionate about the situation and somewhat of frustrated too, because, you know, I felt like if I would have kind of like had the opportunity to do something, it could have made a difference in us winning the game. You know, that's my biggest concern, like, it's winning.
And I think the way that Robbie puts it there, and he even said, like, what gets him frustrated is when he's not seeing the ball and the Panthers lose, but that his first priority is winning. I wasn't as bothered about Robbie's outburst on the sidelines against the Eagles.
Mm-hmm, nor was I.
I would much rather a guy show that kind of heart and care about it.
There you go.
I mean, obviously, if it gets physical, it's a problem. I saw a guy that cared. And that's where I start when thinking about Robbie's outburst against Philadelphia. So I buy into a lot of his explanation.
It didn't land with me any type of way. I just wanted to know who he was talking to. Who's the wide receiver coach?
Frisman Jackson.
So it is believed that. So it's like when you see the imagery of somebody, body language, you can see the expression in their face. Your mind starts to go, oh. And you start thinking, right, we start to stereotype it. Oh, when you think about the position, when you think about the frustrations, you know, that Sam, the decision-making is what I'm talking about. You start factoring all this stuff. Robbie doesn't have a history of being a bad teammate. Now, you know, like, Robbie doesn't have a history of berating dudes through the social media or through the media.
Except Sir Purr.
Well, he really asked.
That's true.
It was really a question.
It was a very judgmental question, what that bear do.
No, the judgment was, y'all call him that.
Okay.
That was where, y'all call him that?
That's fair.
All right, so getting back on track. It didn't alarm me. I wasn't tripping about it. The bottom line is, Robbie Anderson is having the worst start to his career, other than his rookie year. And some of the numbers then were better than they are now. All-time worst for him career-wise, catch percentage down. Yards per target down. The way he's pacing from a touchdown standpoint is down. I don't look at Robbie here. I look at Joe Brady. And clearly he and Sam have a relationship. Look, without getting too much into the weeds, last part for me. I'm a passionate person like Robbie. I can express myself demonstratively without trying to belittle someone else. That's not what's in my mind. My mind is, I'm concentrated, I'm locked, I want to be successful, something's not right, grr, damn it, let's do something to fix it.
I also just think there's hypocrisy in how we perceive things. Like, I think Tom Brady, when he does this stuff, I think he looks like a moron on the sidelines. Because he pouts and he stomps and he does this a lot.
To coaches and players.
To coaches, to players, to, I don't know, anybody on the sideline.
Not named Giselle.
Maybe ball boys. I don't know.
Oh.
But.
No, they help him out.
I thought that was one of the most interesting things Robbie did yesterday, where he said, you know, Tom Brady does this thing all the time and no one mentions it. And I saw the response, which was, well, Tom Brady's won Super Bowls. Yeah, but Tom does it all the time. It's wild to me how when a quarterback does it, it's taken differently than when a wide receiver does it.
To me, it should be if a leader can do it. Robbie Anderson is one, although he may be soft-spoken, Robbie Anderson is a leader of that locker room. How do I know that? Because Matt Rhule rewarded him with a contract.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just give dudes that you could kind of borderline take it or leave it a new deal with new guaranteed money if you're not comfortable with him being one of the leaders in your locker room.
And so I think because he has said, hey, this is about we weren't winning and I wasn't getting the touches. This was both things. Mm-hmm. I prioritize winning.
I respect him saying that.
I think it's pretty important that the Carolina Panthers really assess what the discrepancy here is with Robbie's performance. How much of this is you lost Christian McCaffrey 2.5 games into the season, and you're still reeling, trying to figure out how to get the ball around. The Panthers' offense is best when it is spread around. And I cannot get over the fact, I shared this stat yesterday, I cannot get over the fact that last year, Robbie played 16 games, and DJ played 15. Mm-hmm. And in their games, Robbie was targeted a half target more per game than DJ was. This year, in 5 games, both guys have played it, DJ is averaging 4 more targets per game than Robbie is. So it's apparent that Robbie is not getting the ball anywhere near. And I don't think, listen, DJ's been fantastic. This isn't a DJ Moore problem. But this is a problem that Joe Brady and Sam Darnold together have to figure out. Because if you're not going to be able to take the over-the-top shots for Robbie, which are, I mean, talk about limiting yourself by not being able to make those throws because of whether Sam's inconsistent touch or the bad offensive line, then you've got to find a way to get him the ball earlier and allow him to try and make the play. Because that the playmaking skills of Robbie, on some level, I don't care about catch percentage. On some level, I don't care about all the minutiae. Who has more targets? Who has more catches? Who has more yards? What I do care about is who's getting the opportunity to make the big play. DJ's your consistency guy. He's shown that. Robbie is your big play guy. I want my big play guy to be able to make more big plays. I don't think he's been enabled to do that.
Your route concepts have to complement one another. DJ, I look at is we mentioned yesterday, I put the word on him. DJ Moore should be mentioned in the tier one with the rest of those what we would consider elite wide receivers. He's earned that. Robbie's not that, but you need a Robbie. You have to have a guy that does what he does, regardless of what the physical dimensions are of the player. You got to have somebody that does that. So what is Robbie? Robbie is obviously, you mentioned, taking your shots down the field. Robbie is also a guy that if you run the right route concepts and if you're multiple enough in, so if you're going to say, okay, Robbie, run a deep out. Well, I can do that from the slot. I can do that trips. I can do that into the boundary. I can do that from a bunch formation. I can motion across the formation, orbit, jet. There are a lot of different things you can do. I come back to Robbie's ills, and they tried it against Dallas. I was going to say I aimed at Joe Brady. Robbie got more targets. He got 11 targets in Dallas, the most of the season by far. Only got 5 receptions. So is that on Sam? Is that on Robbie? The bottom line is the two of them have a connection enough that makes me look at Joe Brady and go, get the ball in his hands. I don't understand what's hard. Now, some people may say, and I come to you, would you prioritize? Would you potentially disrupt the chemistry between Sam and DJ for the sake of inviting Robbie to the party?
I don't think... I don't think it disrupts the chemistry. I think all you do is you just put Robbie in, you design, not design a few plays. You put it where he's the primary receiver a few more times just to see if you can get.
But that's play design. You called it right.
I think some of this is just confidence. I think he's probably suffering from confidence because, in fairness, Robbie has had a few key drops. So I think trying to prioritize him for a quarter or trying to prioritize him across key points in a game, I think that's just smart. I'm also, you know what? Listen, I put it on Joe Brady. I put it on Sam Darnold. I'm also gonna put it on newly announced mom-to-be, Kristen Balboni, Darren Gant. I don't know if Zarzur works over there during the regular season. Hey, it's Hank, by the way, Taylor. But okay. I think the digital team needs to get Robbie Anderson and Sir Purr together. Every time there is some quality Robbie Anderson, Sir Purr content, Robbie Anderson goes off. I'm just going to say cause and effect.
So the key to the Carolina Panthers 2021 season and Robbie Anderson justifying the new money is tied to a bear that wiggles his hips and his belly.
What that bear do. Yep. Okay. And by the way, I don't think we stop there. I think we get Cam Irving some Sir Purr time.
Let's let Cam focus.
I think we talk to Matt Paradis. Yeah. Maybe put Matt Paradis or maybe put Sir Purr in a Michael Pierce jersey or a Everson Griffin jersey. And then we say, all right, Bear, you go attack Matt Paradis and just see if maybe that gets Matt Paradis' abilities back up. Not enough Sir Purr. That is the take right now. That's why they've fallen on their six-quarter schneid.
Some people, I've heard this, going back to Robbie's outburst on the sideline. Oh, be a professional. You have to be an example, Stan. Listen, the NFL is a private enterprise that operates with different rules of a traditional corporation. The body language, the way we communicate in and around the locker room is different from a competitive standpoint. There's language on a football field that's very different from language in a corporate environment. You could understand why. So, like, just because a dude, when I was in Dallas, Dez Bryant used to get this all the time. Before him, when I first got to Dallas, Terrell Owens, oh, he's just a bad dude. Now, T.O. had some run-ins in Philly and some other places. Jeff Garcia in San Francisco. Regardless of what people wanted to say about T., he was an excellent teammate, and nobody in the building worked harder. So people around the organization didn't look at T.O. that way, at least the healthy majority. So when I saw all this hoopla about Robbie Anderson, I was like, look, the man is a veteran that's gotten compensated, that, quite frankly, he hadn't had a lot of winning seasons in his career. He wants to win.
I also think I'm just so over holding players to a higher standard than we hold people in public office. Like, I just think, like, there's something in the last 10 years where I've just seen all comings of slime balls and sleaze balls being put up on a pedestal while they continuously fail on every side of the aisle. And then for us to have the just absolute slime that represents the American people just across the board, local level, state level, federal level, to then go, oh, I don't like when this wide receiver yells. Like, what is this? What is my child going to say about this?
I don't know. Be a parent. Teach your child. When you play football, you can yell like that too.
Yeah.
If you're as good as Robbie is.
Yeah. Nobody ever's like, why does this politician expose himself to young women? What am I going to tell my kid about that? The Mark Spain Real Estate Nick Pick next on Sports Radio FNZ. Sports Radio FNZ, Nick Wilson, Stan Norfleet. Final segment of the show. Big thanks to Ben Lieber, former Vikings linebacker, now with the. Really, you guys should actually check out this podcast. This isn't just for Minnesota fans, but it's the Unrestricted Podcast with Ben Lieber. Also, big thanks to Joe Ovius, host on 99.9 The Fan in Raleigh. Great stuff with those gentlemen. But before we can get into what you're burning on, And that's coming up in about 5 minutes. If you want to give us a call, 704-570-9610. It can be whatever you're hot on today. Just can't be politics. That's the only rule. It can be Robbie Anderson. It can be what that bear do. It can be it can be pretty much anything, just not politics. Before we get to that, Stan, It's time for the Mark Spain Real Estate Nick Pick of the Day. We've got Thursday Night Football. The Bucks on the road against the Eagles. And this is a confusing game to try and gamble on in any way. The over-under set at 52.5 points. The Tampa Bay defense, obviously a little banged up in the secondary here. Jalen Hurts coming off a couple games where he's looked really good. I'm going to stay away from the over-under. And I'm going to lay the 7.5 points. And I'm going to take Tampa Bay. Part of me wants to take the 7 points along with the Eagles. The problem is, I think the Eagles are slappies. I think they tried to lose the game last week. And I think Tampa Bay is coming off a 45-17 win over a team that is much, much better. And it would not surprise me if Jalen Hurts struggled tonight. Short week, big home game against one of the best teams in the NFC.
No Lavonte David, no Rob Gronkowski, and one of the DBs is out. Okay. Tom Brady, not feeling so great, been dealing with that hand injury. You said the thumb. How did the Eagles look the last time we saw them?
I'm starting to consider the source there.
Is Darius Slay, is he a guy that looks at how much Tom Brady wants to throw the ball and can get excited about that? Point spread at 7 on the road. I would probably take the under here. Yeah. Am I taking the Eagles in the point? Oh, it's your pick. It's not my pick, so I'll wait.
No, go ahead. You can. I already took the Bucks. I already laid the points and took the Bucks. And stayed away from the over-under because 52.5, I just have no idea what to expect.
I'm not great with over-unders. Yeah, I don't like those.
I was great last night. The Nick pick was the real deal.
I'll take the Bucks to cover, but like at 7.
So if it goes to 6.5, you're out.
I'm out.
If
it goes to 6, I'm out.
That is the Mark Spain Real Estate Nick Pick. We've got you guys ready here. 704-570-9610. It's time for What You're Burning On. Give us a call. Let us know what you're burning on. We'll give you 30 to 60 seconds. David, welcome to What You're Burning On, my guy. What You're Burning On? Hello, David.
Oh, yes. How you doing?
Doing well, buddy. What you burning on, my guy?
Hey, I love y'all's show. Nick and Stan, y'all the best.
Thank you, bro.
Skipping Shannon. So I'm burning on Sam Darnold. This Sunday, he needs the deep ball. We talking about the deep ball now. He's all for missing. He only had that one good pass to my boy Anderson during the Jets. So he needs to get better on that. Also, I'm also burning on Nick's bleeping nasty apple fritters. Okay, those things are chopped. They're not charming at all.
I'm throwing you off the air, David.
Sweet victory.
How dare you? Say what you want about Sam Darnold. Say what you want about my Nick picks, but you leave apple fritters alone, sir. That's good
victory.
Stuff from David. 704-570-9610. What does that sound like? that sounds like something different, but we don't have the time. I think Lil Fitty's eyes just lit up when we did that. Stan.
He needs to cool his shorts, too.
I already told the story earlier on air when you were coming back. I told the story about Lil Fitty just randomly yelling out MILF in the middle of the studio.
You are a disturbed young man.
Stan, what you burning on?
A lot of conversation about John Gruden and in the aftermath of his resignation. We've heard from Coach Rich Bisaccia, who will take over as the interim coach. We have heard from Mark Davis, the owner, D. Maurice Smith of the NFLPA, the executive director, calling for more emails to be released in the full transparency of what's best for the league. And all of this starting from an investigation of what goes on or what went on in the bowels of Washington football teams. Brass and their thought process. Hey, while all this going on, guess what they're doing on Sunday? They have the audacity to honor the late, great Sean Taylor at FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland. And I'm like, okay, when you put this together in the preseason, this was probably a pretty cool time to do it. Because it can get real cold in Washington, you want to do it. Like, okay, I get it. With everything that has happened this week, nobody in the organization thought to time out. Let's honor Sean the next home game.
It just baffles me how billion-dollar corporations who move mountains with their decisions can't take 5 seconds to breathe and think about the optics of a situation.
What are we doing?
Well, because it does turn this into looking like, oh, we're going to try and turn the it lumps it in with the John Gruden thing, which is John Gruden's emails were seen as a way for the NFL to
just
move
get back
off
to football. Yep.
Football or to move off Washington in the investigation and pin something on it.
By the way, the Chiefs are coming to Washington, so you're going to honor Sean Taylor in this. But also, you're likely going to take an L, Chiefs favor by 6.5.
Itty bitty fitty. What you burning on, buddy?
Before I get to what I'm burning on, I do want to commend Stan for his insight on the whole John Gruden situation.
Oh.
It's been very eye-opening for me being a 25-year-old man, breaking myself into this business. So I do appreciate you being good on a very difficult subject. Now, what I'm burning on, The NLDS Game 5, just live up to the hype. I don't really care who wins because whoever's going to win is going to beat the Braves because the Braves always choke in the NLCS. But just live up to the hype. 3 hours of great quality baseball.
There's the windup. And the Miami aim at you, sir. We want San Fran to win because the Braves are going to beat San Fran.
Yeah, don't you understand? If the Braves go to the World Series, we'll get to talk more baseball, which is the end goal. For baseball, you claim to be a baseball fan, and then your jaded, cynical Mets fans' glasses come out. And I'm sorry, I can't help it that Steve Cohen has been a bit of a slappy as an owner. I can't help the fact that the organization, by and large, has been a disgrace to New York sports for the last 30, 40 years. I can't help that. Neither can you. You could at least pin the blame where it belongs on the New York Mets not on the Atlanta Braves. That's some hater right there.
Thank you. Inept front office management and ownership.
Hates the Braves, they're in the NLCS. Hates Luka Doncic, his team won by 68 points last night. Hates LeBron James, the man has some rings. I'm just noticing a trend here.
Hates Mack Brown, future Hall of Famer.
Hates,
and a champion.
Hates his head coach, Mack Brown. I thought about burning on David's comments that he reminds us of Skip and Shannon. One, I don't make what Skip nor Shannon make, and that just makes me salty. Two, In this equation, if we're going to do the basic math, that means I'm Skip. By Goma to you, David, with love. By Goma with love. However, I'm just burning on, well, we told the story earlier about the most Googled phobias earlier. Yesterday, after we got off the show, there was a graphic, an unconfirmed graphic. The most common search terms.
I thought you were going somewhere else.
We're pretty much there. The most common search terms by state, and this was from Pornhub. Guys, if your state was one of the stepsister, that was North Carolina. By the way, North Carolina, what in the bleep is that about? BDSM, looking at you, Maine. All right. Ebony, looking at you, Georgia. I get all of this. Two things that stood out to me. Tennessee was Kevin James. On Pornhub, the most searched term in Tennessee was Kevin James. Guys, I've been down some rabbit holes. I've been down some parts of the internet where I've wondered, can I ever come back from this? I've never Googled, I've never Pornhubbed Kevin James. If you're at this point in your life, get with Jesus. It can be a synagogue.
Well, you should do that
all the time. I should probably say this. Get to just a house of religion and just talk to somebody. Be it a synagogue, be it a temple, be it a shrine, be it a church. Go talk with somebody of a godly nature because you need it. And not to be outdone, Michigan, with MILFs abound, the entire, and I do mean entire Midwest, Ohio, MILF, Indiana, MILF, Kentucky, MILF, Illinois, Wisconsin, it's MILF Central. In the middle of all that, the most searched terms on Pornhub for Michigan was racist. Michigan What are we doing? Like, at least Tennessee's out here doing the duty to Kevin James. I can even understand Kevin James before searching racist on Pornhub. And also, there's a couple I can't talk about here. Oklahoma, Goth Hospital. Guys, what's going on there? All right, these are the three. Everybody else?
I don't believe that's accurate.
Librarians, get it. Oh, I'm just sorry. Let's just kick Michigan out of the union. Tennessee, you're right behind it. Out.
People are into some different things. That's just the nature of mankind. We've always been curious, and from the word go, people get curious about stuff.
You can be curious about anything you want to. Explore. All right, it's 2021. This show is all about exploring and inclusivity and love. Yeah. It's not about Kevin James.
We will not slander Doug nor Kerry Heffernan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They are a lovable couple next door.
It was a trash sitcom.
And my boy Arthur,
Kevin James,
would hang out with any day of the week.
Mm-hmm. I loved him better when he was on Seinfeld. Same character.
My boy Arthur putting in work.
Seinfeld's trash.
All right. You know what? We're just going to shut down the show. Itty bitty fitty. Your takes have ruined the show. When it's the panic attack with Willie P tomorrow and forever on after, it's because you got us canceled with that. Not me talking about Pornhub search terms. It'll be you and your trash takes on Seinfeld. I feel like we've got in a lot today.
Friends is just a better show.
All right, I'm removing the bleep Figoma.
Oh,
all right.
We took it up to the.
You didn't even get a trigoma. I'm removing the B and putting the F back in there. Figoma to Itty Bitty Fitty for his absolute trash. You are to TV takes what Will Pelagic is to food takes. Nunya, you fail for today. Good day, sir. Stan, I still like you very much.
My dude. Brothers, appreciate doing radio with you, Charlotte. Let's do it again tomorrow, God willing. Y'all be safe.
All right, guys. We'll be back. KB coming up until tomorrow at 10 a.m. on a Football Friday. This is Nick for Stan and Itty Bitty Fitty. It's questionable as hell. Saying stay safe and be good, Charlotte.
Lord, I love you, Carolina.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
See you later!
Charmed, I'm sure.
Really, the end of it, and that's all, folks.
Okay, bye.